You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
This is Paula Kidd Casey, and welcome to my show, The Law of Attraction, on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Welcome. We have a really fun show today. I'm interviewing a fellow host on the Law of Attraction Radio Network, Gary Bodley, who actually channels Joshua, who is a group of conscious spirits that come together and answer questions. He's inspirational, he's fun, he's warm, he's to the point, and I want us to get going on our interview with him. So we will be right back with Gary Bodley. And we're back with Gary Bodley. Gary, thank you so much for being on my program.
It's a thrill to be here.
Oh, it's a thrill for me to have you here. Gary and I did a cruise this last year together, Law of Attraction Radio Network cruise, and I got to know him then. He was so much fun. I adore Joshua. And what pronoun do I use for Joshua? They, it,
yep,
they. Okay. And in the introduction, I told you more about that. But he is so much fun. He's got three books out, and I am thrilled to have him on my show. So Gary, thank you so much for being here. And tell us a little bit about you before this mind-blowing experience you had. And then I want to know all about how you got to that. So tell us about you before that.
Great. I'll tell you the short story. I was born in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. When we were two, my dad moved us and the family, my mom, my brother, who was 8 weeks, to Vancouver. And so we had to take a boat to Southampton, England, and then another one to Nova Scotia, and then a cross-continent train ride, and ended up in Vancouver. He thought he had a job there. He didn't. And so he had to scramble around, get a job, and he finally did. We lived there 4 years, became Canadian citizens, and then moved to San Diego, and then became American citizens, went back to South Africa, back to Detroit, then back to San Diego. Then I landed in Boca Raton, Florida, and had a very normal life. But I did have this broad perspective on the rest of the world because we traveled so much. And I had never lived in the same house more than a year. So I was always in schools and always meeting friends and losing friends, you know, because back then you couldn't keep in touch. There was no Facebook. And so I went to high school in Boca, went to college in Boca.
Wow. You moved all that time before even high school?
Yeah. So
there was a lot of at least insecurity and having to go within to get through probably at that point in time.
What I became good at was making friends and adapting very easily. But because I was born in South Africa, I never told anyone that because their impression of South Africa would have been monkeys and living in a jungle. Well, Johannesburg is one of the biggest cities in the world and is very cosmopolitan, especially.
Is that a British?
British and Dutch, yeah.
So do you have a British citizenship, English?
Well, back then, yes.
Okay.
But now it's American, right? So that's why we could go to Canada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so then growing up, I grew up very normal in South Florida. And after I graduated college, I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I went into real estate. And my goal was just to make money. I just wanted to make money because I was seeking my worthiness in outside things.
Wow, there's that validation from outside, yes.
Exactly. And so I wanted to be perceived as successful. And so I became very successful very young. I had a large real estate company with 3 offices and 100 agents in my 20s. And then lost it all. Because what happened was I became very successful and made a lot of money, but was very unsatisfied. So I kept pushing it. And so I would invest in other things and the whole house of cards would collapse. Started over, did the same thing again, another big real estate company. And then in 2009, in the financial crash, lost $6 million and basically foreclosed on all these properties I had and lived in this, turned out to be beautiful, house that was owned by friends of ours on a river, on a nature preserve, but detached from everyone. And so I wanted to find a way to get my money back. And so someone gave us the secret, and we totally got into the secret. And then I found Esther Hicks, Abraham's.
I love that, yes.
Ask and it's given. So mm-hmm. I devoured that, read it 4 or 5 times, and then booked a trip to Asheville to see the 2-day event there.
Uh-huh.
And at that event, one of my old agents who used to work for me said, I have this contract on this house. I just want to put it in your name, and then we're going to flip it to an investor, and we'll each make $2,000. I said, great. When I get back, she says, the investor doesn't want it. Do you want to do this house? And I said, well, I've lost everything. I don't have any money. But I had a friend who had money, and so she put up all the money for the house, for the paying for it and repairs, and I managed the crew and designed the house, and we sold it and did very well. And then I started just doing that, which was always my passion, but I only did it as a side job. And so here I am doing that. And then,
so you were flipping houses in the early 2010s and everything.
Right. Yeah, and right. And I was also passionate about poker. So I was playing poker every day. So I would see the houses
in
the morning.
That's so funny. I got to tell you, my husband says, there's a Gary Bodley that plays poker.
That's
you.
Yeah.
All right. That's amazing. Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay.
So if you Google me, you'll see poker as well as Joshua in there. But anyway, that was pre-Joshua. And and so we slowly built our life back up, and we bought our dream house and totally renovated it. And my wife at the time, Lily, found her passion, which was renovating furniture. So people would move down from the north to Florida but have all this brown furniture. And so she hired painters and upholsterers and would just make these beautiful Florida modern designs out of old furniture. And she has a big store called the Painted Ox. And so we're living in this house, and I'm playing poker and doing, and everything's going great.
And you're flipping houses. That's how you're making money. And
right.
Yeah. Okay.
But from a law of attraction way. So
Cause you were implementing it at that time.
Yes. Cause I had been going to Abraham and really, really deeply into Abraham. And so I said, I'm just going to relax about this whole thing. The house will be completed when it's completed. The buyer will come along when it comes along. The neighbors are going to love this house because it's going to improve the value. This is going to be good for everyone. And the people who eventually buy it are going to love this house. And so it was just always fun. And I brought in more investors and did more houses. And at one time I was doing 10 houses at the same time, all while playing poker from 12:30 until 6 o'clock pretty much every day. So I was doing
like poker. A professional poker player. Because I know nothing about that. Okay.
Yeah. So I was a professional poker player for 4 years during this time and doing very well in poker, very well in real estate. Everything's going great. Then I had the strong inspiration to meditate. And so
had you ever meditated before?
Never. And I was always resistant to it.
And why were you resistant? Because a lot of my students are resistant to it.
Because I thought it was woo-woo.
Well, it is. It is to some degree, but okay.
Why did that
turn you off? You read The Secret, you were into Abraham. Help our people get through why it's so important to meditate in.
Yeah, you know, my perspective back then was limited. And I thought this was just something that, you know, spiritual people did, and it didn't have any real applications.
And I thought it was kind of boring.
Well, in the very beginning, it's very hard to do.
Yes.
Because your mind is flooded with these thoughts.
Yes.
And a lot of people quit in the beginning. And sometimes in the beginning, I was only doing 2 or 3 minutes before I had to say, oh, no, I can't do it anymore. But I kept with it because this intuition was strong. And I also heard that a whole bunch of people that I respected, like Jerry Seinfeld was meditating, you know, and all these people are meditating. And so I got into it. I used the Abraham.
Let me ask you something real quick. So when you only did 2 or 3 minutes, it's because your mind would wander. It was hard to stop it, right?
It was annoying, you know.
What was annoying?
Just sitting there and being quiet.
Yeah,
kind of guy.
Yeah.
And how did
you get past that?
Just doing it.
Yeah. And do you have any tips for people to get through those first 2 or 3 or 4 minutes?
Well, it's, you know, Abraham has 4 guided meditations.
I love those, yes.
And Joshua has 10. You can find them on Spotify and Amazon.
YouTube.
They're all free.
Aren't they on YouTube also?
I don't know, but they're also on Inside Timer, which is
God, that's what I have my students do. Okay, Insight Timer. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah, so you're on there. You've got your guided meditations. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And because they're guided, you can just listen to the voice, you know, mm-hmm. and just go along with that. And then you can breathe along to it. And
so it has a breath like Abraham Hicks does. It has, okay, that, yes. I love that.
Yeah. And it's like anything else. Whenever you start anything, you're sort of are not at the vibration of whatever you're doing. A lot of us want to start new things. And we say, if we're not perfect or we're not experts the first week, we're going to quit, right? And all that is fear that you're not going to get it. And so that fear is irrational. And if you can just realize it's an irrational fear, just do it. You know, it's there's something there to it. Well, what happened for me is after about a month, I started to feel a presence in my face.
A month of meditating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it got longer and longer, I'm assuming. We got 3 minutes, 4 minutes, right?
Yeah. Maybe okay. 3 minutes the first day, 4 minutes the second day, 5 minutes the third day, and then the whole 15 minutes.
After okay. That so off. After about 30 days, you're up to 15 minutes.
Right.
Okay.
Then this presence came. And yeah, it was very obvious. It felt like a hand was inside my skin caressing my jaw. And then it would move to the skull. Well, because it was so comforting, it was definitely weird. But because it was so comforting, you know, I thought, well, something's going on here. And then pretty soon I asked it a question, just like I would ask Abraham a question if I was on the hot seat.
Oh, uh-huh.
And the answers came back like that, like right away. And so,
did you think it was you answering those questions?
Which, of course,
it really is us because we really are part of the bigger picture. But so you just thought you were answering your question quickly and you were pretty darn smart, right?
Well, it was interesting because, you know, you think it feels like your own thoughts because, of course, our brains perceive visuals through our eyes and what we're perceiving is the vibration of light and the brain is interpreting what that is. Mm-hmm. In our own way, and that feels familiar. And the same thing with hearing in all our senses. So when we interpret thought, we interpret it in our voice or our thought voice. And so whatever thought you receive, it comes in that voice. It doesn't come in a different voice, which I had always assumed it would be a different voice. But of course not. It's your own
the
voice.
The booming God voice, but it's yours, right?
Yeah, and it's not booming. It's the same. Okay.
Exactly how do you know when it's your thought or outside thoughts coming in?
Well, in the early stages, because my outside thoughts were a mix of the stream of consciousness of lack and fear and the stream of consciousness of love, but it's a mix, they were jumbled up.
Uh-huh.
This was pure source consciousness coming through and it felt different.
Oh, I love that.
And when the answers came back, they were so clear and so precise and perfectly compatible with Abraham, yet they were more specific. So now I'm not even believing it's real, and I'm not telling anyone about it. And I'm just having this conversation and asking questions.
Is it going on every time you meditate now?
Every time, right.
Okay.
And then one day I said, who is this? And they said, we are Joshua, like that. All right? And that's when I said, oh my, this might be something else.
Right? Oh my.
And I still don't believe it, but I'm still doing it every day because the presence is there. It's super obvious for me.
And I'm assuming you feel wonderful.
Well, yeah, I feel good, but you're still confused, right?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And then one day, it was actually November 15th, 2013, during meditation, they said, get up and go right, right, right. So I got up out of bed where I was meditating, went in my home office, closed the door, was by myself, turned off my phone, and I just started typing. And that first day, I typed 3 pages in about half an hour, so really fast. I didn't know what I was typing. I thought it was...
You did not know?
Not at all.
Wow.
And then I read it back, and I'm like, oh my God. And that day was the introduction of this book, A Perception of Reality.
And I've got it too, so it's going to be on YouTube. We got dueling books here, and I love it, love it, love it.
And exactly what that was written came out. And nothing was changed except, of course, there's typos when I'm typing so fast. The next day, the started again. Another 3 pages, another half hour. In 56 days, that book was finished.
Oh, my. That's amazing.
300
It's a pages. Wonderful book. It flows.
Book. Yeah.
I mean, it's insightful. It's warm. It's intelligent. It's transformational.
It's deep. Uh-huh. But what's interesting is now there's been four books. There's a fifth book being released this year. Uh-huh. There's been events and two podcasts and this huge community has grown up around it. But the first words ever written is everything is right. Anything seen as wrong is done so from a limited perspective. From the higher perspective, whether that's after a bit of time or from the higher perspective of the non-physical, everything is right. There is no wrong anywhere in the universe. And that's
a very controversial statement.
Well, that is the entire teachings of Joshua. It's also the entire teachings of Abraham, too.
Right, right. That it's all contrast. It's there for a reason. When you get a bigger perspective of the whole thing, you understand. That's really hard for people to wrap their heads around in our limited, you know, human environment.
Yeah, but there's ways to see it.
Okay, tell us that. Tell us how we get this bigger perspective.
Okay.
That can solve everybody's dilemma of, there's no justice. I'm a victim. Everything happens to me. You know, you just slap them. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, it's from our perspective now, we see the illogical nature of perceiving that things are happening to us instead of realizing everything's happening for us.
So let's take
a look at my financial ruin in 2009. In 2009, I was all about making money and trying to prove my worthiness by outside conditions and trying to get people to appreciate me, right? And I was having all these manifestation, what we call manifestation events around this, all this trauma around it. Mm-hmm. And what was really happening was that financial collapse led to the life I live now.
So let's talk about that real quick. We think the financial collapse happened because of Washington and they bundled the mortgages and that's a whole other thing. But even though that was kind of outside of your control, the way you reacted to it and the bigger perspective of why it's there is under our control, right?
Well, absolutely, because not everyone went into financial ruin. Half my friends made millions in that time because, you know, they were aligned differently. They had different vibration going on.
Oh, I love that. They were aligned differently because it didn't matter what happened out there. I mean, they were aligned differently.
Right. Their vibration was vibrating something else. Now, not that they were, not that it wouldn't have been a benefit to them because they ended up, you know, some of them went through divorce and some of them went through drinking problems because they're all operating as victims to some extent, thinking the things outside of them can affect them. And so they're protecting themselves and they're living in this fear mode.
And it's hard not to see outside conditions and react to them emotionally and internalize them. It's hard to do that, but you're going to tell us how to do it. So I'll be quiet. Yes.
Well, everyone does that. So just start with that statement. Everyone perceives something's happening to them instead of something happening for them. It's very, you know, it takes a bit of time and practice to realize everything's happening for you. But I realize now, from my perspective now, that led me on a 10-year journey to become who I truly am, which is a spiritual leader and teacher. Prior to that, I was just living this cheese grater life of exploring who I was not. This event allowed me to take my journey to find the secret, to find Abraham, and then to allow Joshua to come through. Had I been successful, I would have still been living that life. Had that not happened. And that would have been the worst thing that could happen. I could have made two or three decisions back then that would have reversed that and I could have made a fortune. Yet, and even back then, I was so good at real estate, but I was blindsided. But how could that be? If I knew more about real estate at that time than anyone, I didn't see what was happening. And thank God I didn't, because it led me on this journey to this. So that's, you know, for me, it was a rock bottom kind of thing.
And I love that perspective because you can't connect the dots going forward. You don't know why it's happening at the time. You can only connect the dots going backwards. And you were just in the middle of a dot. And if we can understand, we're just a dot right now. And it's for the bigger purpose, right? That's where that expectation and faith and...
Well, what was interesting is I thought I knew what I wanted. I wanted money to prove my worthiness.
Yes.
I was wrong. What I truly wanted was to explore who I am in this journey of self-discovery we call physical reality. I was exploring who I wasn't. you know, all these things who I wasn't trying to get worthiness and try. See, I'm inherently worthy. You're inherently worthy. And everyone's inherently worthy. But we have this illusion of unworthiness. And when we were born, we were all worthy. That day we were born. And we expected people to take care of us. And we expected to get everything we needed. And we did until we did something to cause our parents fear. And in causing them fear, they received urges to change the conditions. And since we, in their mind, were the thing that was causing them fear, they wanted to control us so that we wouldn't cause them fear. Now, we interpreted it as we were bad or wrong. And we weren't bad or wrong. We were just doing something that caused them fear. So imagine you're a baby, you're walking around, and you open the door and go out the front door. Well, your mother's going to freak out, and she's going to stop you from going out. But you interpreted it as you did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And then imagine that's every single day of your life, from now, from the time you were born to now, if your parents are still alive, is that same thing. So you get programmed into this idea that you're wrong. And that's not true. You're not wrong. You're just doing something that causes other people fear.
They're
and
just they trying to keep you safe. They're doing it out of fear.
No, no. They don't care about keeping you safe.
Oh, they don't. Okay.
They care about their feeling of fear that they want to solve. And so we can either solve our fear internally by looking at the big picture and seeing what's really happening, or by controlling the conditions. So if you try and control the conditions, if you wish things were different than they were, or wish people were different than they are, or most importantly, wish you were different than you are, you're just trying to control conditions to ease that fear. Or you can process the fear internally. You can realize that the fear only comes up because you have a limiting belief, and that limiting belief is always, always false. It's never true.
So how do we turn that around? How do we change that fear inside of us?
So one thing is you let go of your attachment to anything you think you want. Because most of what you think you want is created from some lack. I want money because I lack security.
Yes.
I want money because I lack worthiness. I want a mate because I feel lonely. I lack companionship. That's
why. Let me tell you, you let go of the attachment to what you think you want.
Right.
Okay.
And you realize that prior to your birth, you set these intentions. Your intention is to love and accept yourself as you are, to love and accept everyone else as they are, and to love and accept the conditions as they are, to experience true freedom and true abundance, not limitation or lack, and to expand in joy, not to expand in suffering. These are your driving intentions, your driving desires. Those desires match your soul's purpose and who you truly are. And they are born out of love, right? And so if you're allowing those intentions to come through, then you're going to live a life of love, true freedom, true abundance, and you're going to expand in joy. However, if you're attached to something you think you want that's born out of lack, if you perceive it's not coming, you're going to suffer.
Right. So how do you get to realize the worthiness, to realize who you truly are?
Okay. So were you, when you were born that day, were you worthy?
Oh, absolutely.
And were you perfect?
Absolutely.
Okay. The next day, were you worthy and were you perfect?
Well, I think I was. I think we all are. I think
was.
We still are.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when you were 2 years old and you could walk, now, are you better than you were? No, you're just expanded into another perfect version of yourself. Uh-huh. Yet, that walking around will cause your parents fear because you might hit the corner of a table.
So expansion does cause fear because it's different. It's a different, it's you're not comfortable anymore, right?
Well, it could cause fear depending on your thing. But like if you're a baby and you're walking around and you hit your head, well, you'll feel pain and you'll learn from that experience and maybe you'll feel a little fear. But if your parents tell you, I'm going to put you back in your crib so you can't hurt yourself, you're going to say, I'm not worthy of walking around. And you're going to adopt this limiting belief. And then you adopt millions of these limiting beliefs. And then you start living as if you're flawed. And as you live as if you're flawed, you build up this momentum. And your beliefs, which inform your vibration, create a reality that conforms to what you believe.
Uh-huh.
And so you look around and you say, it is true I'm not worthy. if I was worthy, this person would love me, right? And you didn't come here to receive love from others. You came here to express your love. The idea that you need someone to love you to complete you, which is a fairy tale, goes against everything you intended. And you only want that to feel worthy. And so you say, as long as this person loves me, I feel worthy. But if at any time I interpret them not to love me, I'm going to freak out and I'm going to change them. I'm going to say, you know, you didn't bring me flowers on Valentine's Day. That means you don't love me. You didn't open the door for me. That means you don't love me. You didn't send me a text. That means you don't love me. Or whatever, right? You'll start making stuff up. And it will always match how you feel. So it's always a reflection of how you feel about yourself.
So we have to get out in front of it.
Right. You got to first accept that you're worthy. Now, here's how you accept you're worthy.
Good. Good. Tell us this.
If you think about it, everything in physical reality is unique. Every snowflake's unique. Mm-hmm. Every grain of sand's unique. And obviously, every life experience is unique. Now, the purpose of a life experience is to have these experiences that add to the tapestry of all human experience. Without Paula's experience, that tapestry would be missing a thread, and the whole tapestry would unravel. So your experience of physical reality is vital to the experience of all that is. Without your experience, exactly how you're living it, that tapestry of all human experience would unravel. So your contribution is just as valid as anyone else's, whether they're homeless or the president. It doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
Everyone is completely equal, and everyone is completely unique, and no one has ever lived a life like you before or will afterwards. And so this is the only life that can be lived is through your perception of reality. And that is equal and as beneficial as anything else. Now, from a human perspective, we say people are getting it right or wrong. They're living a good life or a bad life. Well, that's a limited perspective.
Uh-huh.
From the higher perspective, you can't live any more perfectly than you do. You can't make mistakes. You can't get it wrong. There's nothing you can do this wrong. If you're
people
attached,
shouldn't feel guilty. They shouldn't feel inferior. They should own their worth no matter where they are right now. They're here for a reason. There's dots that got them here.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. I'm talking to Paula. Paula, from your perspective, do you feel inferior to anyone?
Well, I hope not.
Or do you feel equal to everyone?
I think I feel equal to everyone.
Do you feel superior to anyone?
Oh, I probably do. I don't want to admit
it. Or do you feel equal, right?
And so it's equal.
Yeah, it's this idea of feeling equal. And we want to put ourselves somewhere on this hierarchy, but that is inauthentic.
Right.
We're actually all equal. The homeless man, we don't know how he feels. He may feel unbelievably free. We don't know what he intended to explore in this reality. He may intend to explore this idea of freedom, and how it worked out for him is that he didn't need a home. We look at someone we think is doing well. Well, we don't know how they feel. They may feel terrible inside, but on the outside, it may look like they're successful by the Western standards.
Uh-huh.
The success is, how do you feel?
Yes.
So we always want to move towards feeling good and don't care about what it looks like on the outside. So I was having a conversation with someone, and I said, identify your ideal client. And they said, this is a man in his 50s. He's very calm and relaxed and excited about what he's doing. And he's open, very open-minded. And I said, okay, just based on that description, do you think that he is going with the flow of life, or he's resistant? Do you think he's successful and happy, or do you think he's miserable? And just that ease and calm of this idea of someone who is easygoing and going with the flow and all that, and calm, we know he's successful. We know that he feels good, right? And someone who is bitter and angry and resistant and thinks things are happening to them is going to face a lot of conflict.
Uh-huh.
So just in that feeling of calm and ease, in our imagination, we can perceive someone's doing well and feeling good. That's all we have to do, is try and figure out how can we see this from a better perspective, from a more empowering perspective. That This house is beautiful. This country is amazing. Mm-hmm. This government is fantastic. There's people on in this country are some of the most brilliant people in the world. My neighbors are wonderful people. All that, right? Or you can say, there's this faction of people that are Nazis. Right. Or this government that are corrupt. Whatever that is. If you want to perceive things or use a limited perspective, you're always going to see the bad and wrong. And if you want to see things from the higher perspective, you can see how everything is right and good.
And how do you get to that higher perspective? Because people are going to say you're smoking dope because okay. Those things are not. Yeah. So how do we get to that higher perspective?
Okay. So look at your husband. You love him. Uh-huh. And so you're looking at him generally from a higher perspective.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes he'll do something that will cause you to feel fear.
Uh-huh.
Now, does he cause you to feel fear, or is there a limiting belief that causes you to feel the fear?
Right. The fear is inside of me. Nobody can make you feel anyway.
Exactly. Right. Exactly right. So the government can't make you feel anything, but you have a limiting belief that says this should be different than it is.
Right.
And so you process that belief. Now, if it's a limiting belief, it's always false. And so you can say, well, if it's false, then I can find evidence to prove it's false. Okay, so does the government have any direct relationship on my life? No, it's never had any relationship. There's been administrations that have come and gone. They've never really affected me. It's never been anything other than my attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
If I can just allow it to be as it is and focus what I'm interested in and what I enjoy, then it's not going to have that effect on me. It doesn't affect these people. It doesn't affect those people. It doesn't affect anyone. And I can see that there are people who are affected by it, but those are the ones who are really focused on it, who are really in resistance to it. And I can also notice that people who are in resistance to anything are the ones who see that in their reality the most. If I can be softer about it, if I can think better thoughts about it, if I can look at it from a different perspective, which I choose my perspective. So if I can look at it like, it doesn't really matter. It's going to be over in a few years. Something else will happen. And over the course of history, things have gotten better and better and better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what's really happening here is physical reality is a playground for people to explore different things. And in 2019, this playground has lots of different rides you can go on.
Yes, it does.
Uh-huh. And lots of extremes. Well, if you focus on the news is going to pay attention to the extremes because that causes fear. And they're going to look for the most fearful thing they can find because that is what people who are victims gravitate towards because they want to pretend that watching the news keeps them safe. And it doesn't. It's not going to be of any benefit to pay attention to things that you do not prefer. And so
you can't control them, and somehow it just makes you, it's like watching a car wreck, you know?
What can you control?
Right. What can you control? Good question.
There's only one thing you can control.
What you feel.
Your perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And your perspective informs how you feel. So if you look at anything from a limited perspective, that perspective is based in fear. And it's always going to cause you to feel fear. If you look at everything from the higher perspective of source or even, you know, when you broke up with your first boyfriend in high school or college, that was devastating at the time. Mm-hmm. But thank God that happened.
Right. Or you wouldn't be where you are now. And that's a great example that people have to understand things happened in the past to get you where you are right now.
Exactly. Yep.
And so if something's going happening bad now, it's just going to get you to somewhere else better down the road.
And you can't control anything outside of you.
Right.
The only thing you can control is your perspective. Mm-hmm. And you can process your limiting beliefs that inform your vibration. And if you soften those limiting beliefs, you can't get rid of them, but you can soften them. And then your beneficial beliefs will take over. And everyone listening to this show is living a wonderful life. They may be focused on what they perceive as wrong, but compared to 7 billion people on this planet, it's amazing. Compared to 180 billion people that have ever lived, it's out of this world.
So we count our blessings, right? We're grateful for what we have already. Gratitude gets us to understanding there's already an abundance in our life. That's a different perspective that we've already got that.
Yeah.
So is that a good way for them to start changing their perspective?
Yeah. Gratitude or appreciation. Appreciation is a little bit easier or a little bit more powerful, because appreciation says, I appreciate that I manifested this. And gratitude is saying, I'm thankful that I got lucky enough that this happened to me. Well, so there is no luck.
Appreciation is you're taking control of it, and you understand that this came to and through you.
Yes, and you can appreciate the time when you broke up with your boyfriend, or when he broke up with you, or when you got fired from your job that led to something else. You can appreciate all this stuff because you actually created it all.
And that's what they have to actually own, the power that they created it all.
If you think that something wrong is happening and it's not your creation, it's only because you're looking at it as if what you think you want isn't going to come now. That is the cause of all suffering. If you just allow for the fact that if you can just go with the flow of life and not focus on what you think is wrong, but just put your attention to all the good stuff in your life and all the things that are interesting, and that you are worthy of anything, then you will be led along this path that will lead to joy, love, acceptance, true abundance, true freedom, and expansion. But you can expand in joy.
And yet, the only time you can do that is in the present moment. The only time you can feel that make these decisions, to appreciate things, to become the victor instead of the victim, is in the present moment. And that's what you're talking about. When you open that up, then the universe is going to show you the next step and the next step. And
yes, the universe will show you the next step, but you won't recognize it if you're living in fear.
Ah, that's a good
point. You're a victim, you won't recognize it because you're in fear. You have to be in this state of allowing, right?
I love it. So can we have Joshua come in and talk to us?
Absolutely. I'll take a few deep breaths.
Okay.
And set my intentions, and then Joshua will come through, and we'll see what happens. Who knows?
Thank you.
Okay. We are thrilled to be here.
Yay! I've got Joshua on. I'm so excited. Thank you very much, everyone, for being here. I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled.
What's happening? Do you see what's going on here? Do you see this idea expanding? Do you see that how you were inspired to call Gary, to be a part of this, to allow for new ideas, to allow your audience to see things from another perspective, to see things from a higher perspective, to realize everything good is happening, that there is no wrong anywhere in the universe? How did you get to this place where you could even for a moment understand that there is no wrong in the universe, that everything is truly right? You have to know that you and all your listeners and everyone who's listening to this now and in the future is coming to a new place of understanding, because they realize that the old approach to life of being the victim and perceiving things are wrong and perceiving things could happen to them is ineffective. It will never lead to the life you intended to live. Now, that life you intended to live is a stream. It's always pulling you forward. And if you're resisting it, you're going to face events that let you know you're resisting it. These are what we call manifestation events. And if you think something's wrong, if you feel negative emotion, you're in a manifestation event. That manifestation event is trying to tell you that you're resisting who you truly are. Who you truly are is a magnificent and limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. That's who you truly are. Who you are being now is a somewhat limited version of that. As long as you're making your way to the authentic version of you, going with that stream, becoming worthy, becoming who you are, becoming, peeling away the illusion of imperfection, the illusion of unworthiness, the illusion that you are a victim, and the reality is that you're the creator of your reality. As long as you're going along with that stream, you can go easily and you can float joyously. Yet, if you think anything is wrong, you are sticking a stick in the mud of that stream and holding on to it so that your little rowboat does not go along to become who you truly are. With that, we would like to talk about anything you'd like to talk about.
I love the idea of giving a different perspective, but just saying those words is extremely difficult. Can you give one, two, three things that they can do when they find themselves in this rowboat with their oar in the mud? Tell us how to get a different perspective.
Let's start from the highest perspective.
Perfect.
Can't be listening to this conversation now without knowing who you truly are to some degree. Something has led you step by step by step to this information, to this conversation. You can't be here unless you're ready.
I love that.
So those who can't understand that there is no wrong will not be aware of this conversation. But those of you who are listening right now, you have to know that there's a part of you that realizes this is the truth and this is resonating with you. And so if you feel shivers or excitement or little specks of joy, you know that you're on the right path. And so all you have to do is allow the inspiration to flow to what is ever next for you. And that may manifest in a million different ways. It could be another book. It could be another podcast. It could be a documentary. It could be something you research on the internet. It could be a friend who comes to you and talks about the law of attraction. It could be all these things. Now, if you think something's wrong, it's simply an emotion. The emotion is negative. There's only two emotions, fear and love. So if you think something's wrong, you're feeling some sort of negative emotion, and you may have a term for it like jealousy or envy or anger or resentment or any of these things. And that negative emotion is guidance. It's being sent to you from source, from your inner self, letting you know that you're perceiving this subject in a limited way and it is not serving you. And so think about that for a second. Why are you perceiving something in a limited way? Well, from your perspective, it seems wrong, but that perspective is limited. From the higher perspective, whether that's a bit of time or from where we live, nothing is ever wrong. So to think something's wrong indicates a limiting belief. If you can find that limiting belief, you can prove that limiting belief is false. This is not done overnight, but this is a new way of thinking. The other thing you can do is meditate, because meditation will allow you to connect to the stream of consciousness of source. That's the purpose of meditation. In your daily life, you go around thinking some things are good and some things are bad. When you think something is good, you are connected to the stream of consciousness of source. When you think something is bad, you are connected to the stream of consciousness of all human thought that has ever been thought, mostly based in fear. And so spend a little more time in meditation. You will connect easier and easier and easier to love consciousness. That's all there is to it.
So is there really an Akashic record that everything that's ever been thought or said or everything that's ever going to be thought in the future, all the information is there in this zero point field, in this quantum field? Is that true?
Why would it not be true? Where would it go? If anything exists, it exists for eternity. You exist.
I love that.
Therefore, you exist for eternity. You see? So the purpose of physical reality is to add the experiences moment by moment by moment of every individual life form to this tapestry of all that is for a better understanding of what? Of source itself. So from our perspective, we understand to a degree what source is because we have a very high perspective and we have the availability of that, those thoughts that have ever been thought before. Yet there are also thoughts that exist that have not been thought before.
Ah.
And they exist in the realm of potentiality. So every new creation, someone has accessed or allowed the non-physical to present them with a new thought. And new thoughts are streaming in all the time, responsible for every new invention, every new book, every new piece of music, every new piece of art. Everything new comes from the stream of consciousness, but it can't come until someone is vibrationally aligned with it.
Ah, so anybody can access this, right?
Anyone can access it, but you'd have to be a vibration aligned. So for you to be to compose some piece of music, if you're not interested in it, and if you don't need it, it can't come. But for you to create a conversation like this that has never happened before, it falls within the realm of what you're interested in. And so you have a purpose for that thought coming to you, because it wouldn't do any good coming to someone else who doesn't have that interest, you see.
And that's why when you have the interest, you're on that vibration, and that's when you can access this additional information. Is that correct?
As long as you're in the stream of consciousness coming from source. If you're in the stream of consciousness of what was old lack, old fears of generations past, of other life forms, then you are connected to that stream of consciousness. And in that, you're generally going to come up with an urge to control the condition. In the stream of consciousness of source, you are aligned with the new.
One is alignment with love and the other one is alignment with fear.
In simplest terms.
Okay.
Now, think about all the thought that's ever been thought in human experience. Think about people living 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. The bulk of that thought was based in fear and old thought. And this is why people who are in science, for instance, are resistant to create anything new because they're dipping into the old thought. They've been trained in a way to believe that everything that exists is what was existing before, and the newness is more difficult to come through because the newness will probably be counterintuitive to the old thought. The new thought is based in love. The old thought is generally based in fear, not all of it. There's some amazing bits of love in there as well, but generally there's more fear than love. In the source consciousness, it's all love. Now, think about new music or new art, breaking new ground, changing new genres. Who's getting those thoughts? Those people getting those thoughts may seem radical to those who are used to the old things. But after a bit of time, more people become a vibrational match to it, and then it's appreciated on a grander scale.
Because if we can't see it, feel it, hear it, taste it, touch it, we don't think it exists. That's what science is based on. But the new information is not logical. It's new. It's something we haven't thought of. It's flowing to us, and everybody needs to be open to that because everybody has access to that. You know, I think they poo-poo new ideas that they can't do it, but we all have access to that, right? If we're in vibrational alignment with it.
Yes, but if you have a belief system that says that this is the only thing that's real, then you don't have access to this, that anything that contradicts what your belief system is.
And
you
one
don't
of the
have
ways,
access.
One of the ways to kind of neutralize that is to meditate, right? And to not bring in a judgment with you.
To allow whatever flows to you without any purpose or meaning to it. It doesn't mean anything if you meditate. It doesn't mean you're good or bad. There is no meaning in it. It won't create anything that you want. It'll only allow access to a stream of thought that feels good for the purpose of feeling good. That's all there is to it. But if you can get into feeling good through meditation, through exercise, through anything that you're interested in, only focusing on what you like, doing everything in order to feel good in that moment, living for the day. We won't say the moment is fleeting, but the day, imagine living a lifetime in a day, and tomorrow is a different day. Then you can do tomorrow. Today, you just do today. Imagine the past, everything happened perfectly in the past. Your memory of the past is based on your perception of reality, based on your vibration right now. Not when you were at that age when it happened. That was a different vibration. This is why the past never matters. This is why memories are intentionally fuzzy. You have enough clarity to recognize certain patterns, but you do not know what was happening in the past.
So the past really doesn't matter right now.
The past will change based on your vibration now because you're viewing
your perspective of the past will change. And I love that people think they're caught up with the past, and you're teaching that they can actually change their perspective of what happened in the past because it's just based on judgments that they're carrying now on what happened in the past. Is that
Imagine if you exist at this higher vibrational frequency and everyone's frequency raises naturally over time at a certain rate. And so at this point, you are at the highest vibration of any incarnation of you ever. And so you have a unique perception of reality based on this vibration. And that is like a lens. And if you use that lens to look back at the past, it will be a different version than what you actually experienced.
I love that.
Yes. And you don't know what was happening in the minds of everyone else involved in any event of your life. And you don't know what was in your mind at that time, too. And you don't know what the vibration was.
And you can now appreciate it because now you're in a different vibration and you know it had to happen to get where you are today. So You're appreciating that now.
So when you're looking at the past, you're using your imagination. Mm-hmm. You are either using your imagination to imagine that everything worked out perfectly to bring you here, or you're using your imagination in a limited way to say that if things were different, I would be having a better life, which you cannot possibly know, and that life does not exist. The only life exists is the one that you have. So use your imagination in an empowering way to say that everything worked out perfectly and to say that everyone thinks well of me. Everyone is doing their best they can. Everyone is involved in their own life, and that's for them. I am the center of my universe, and those people revolve around me. This is my exploration of self-discovery, and they are all there to assist me to be a reflection of how I feel right now. Raise how I feel, raise my perspective on myself, think of myself more worthy, more perfect, more capable, more with a birthright of freedom and abundance, more able to be who I truly am. And when the authentic version of you emerges, you will be thrilled with how you feel and what your talents and attributes are as they come forth when you know who you truly are.
That's such a loving, optimistic way to look at everything. And if people can grasp that and start down that road, it makes all the difference in the world. Let me ask you a quick question. Now, this is the deepest question in the world. Are you Source?
Are you Source?
Yes, I am. I am divinity and my body. Yes.
You are an expression of Source. We are an expression of Source. The blades of grass are an expression of Source. The trees are an expression of Source. It is all Source.
So you're a group of spirits. So you're a bigger drop in the ocean of Source. Or is there bigger little in Source?
There is all equal.
Okay. All right.
From the blade of grass to the tree and to all other people. You are equal to us. You are equal to Source. There is no hierarchy. Hierarchy is created out of fear, and it's a human tendency.
And it's a power. It's a power thing that people are trying to do. So where do you live? Do you live anywhere?
We live here.
You're not talking to Gary?
We are here.
So you're in another dimension? You're in a vibration?
You're in this dimension.
Okay, now, but you don't have a body. Well, now you do because you're in Gary's body, but...
Do you have a body?
Yes.
Do you have a body? Do you own this body?
I'm visiting this body, right?
Are you simply taking up the space in this body? Now, are you every cell in that body? Or is every cell in that body an individual life form experiencing physical reality on their own terms for the duration of whatever existence they need to explore what they need to explore?
Well, I don't know.
Control your skin cells?
Our vibration, our environment controls our cellular structure, right?
You have little control over that body. You are possibly a passenger in the body, possibly a captain of the body, possibly you have some influence of some aspects of the body, and much of what you experience with the body is based on your perception of reality, you see. And so how you perceive your body is different from how everyone else perceives that body. But that body is not you, nor do you need to be defined by that body.
Okay.
So as you trim the hair and dress it, you feel like this is a statement of who you are. But you are a limitless being as we are limitless beings. There is no difference between you and us. You have the same access to information that we have. You have access to us just like Gary has access to us. When it comes through you, you might give it a different name. It might have a different flavor because it's matched with you.
Right.
But it's the same access, and all humans have this access. When you think a thought, you think you may be manufacturing it in your brain, but your brain does not manufacture the light waves that enter your eyes. Your brain interprets it, and your brain interprets the stream of thought. And as it comes through you, it comes through in a unique way because you are a unique physical being. You see.
Oh, I love that. So
you need not be defined by your body. You need not be defined by your intelligence or intellect or sense of humor or profession or house or car or mate or any of these things, because you are limitless. You are a magnificent and limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. That's who you are. You just see yourself from a more limited perspective than we see ourselves.
Okay. So, but when you're not talking through Gary, you're conscious everywhere. Can you see other things that are going on? Are you omnipresent, omniscient?
Yes.
So he's saying yes. Okay. I love that. I want to be that.
You are too. You're limitless.
Okay.
You have another part of you called your inner self that exists with us in the non-physical.
And that inner self is guiding you.
And that inner self has access to all the information that we have access to, all the information in the world. And so when you receive a thought, you are judging that thought as appropriate or accurate, or does it align with your beliefs or any of these things. But that stream of consciousness that comes to you is for you. And so when you're inspired to do something, that inspiration is meant to help you move along the path of self-discovery to discover who you truly are.
That's amazing. Joshua, I want to have you on again. I needed this. Thank you so much. I was inspired to get a hold of Gary, and we had a hard time connecting, but it was perfect. It was exactly what was supposed to happen. So, Joshua, thank you so much. Can I have Gary back very quickly so I can tell him thank you?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
We are complete. All right, I'm back.
Yay. Oh, I loved it. Okay, I just want to take you home with me. You know what? You are home with me, right? We're all connected anyway.
It's this illusion of disconnection, right? Thank God for technology, because this is as real as being present.
It is.
I can't talk on the phone anymore. I want to do Zoom all the time.
Well, because there's so much more of a connection, right? Yeah. So, yeah. And so this is on YouTube too. So I want people on the radio show. So Gary, thank you so much for being on my show. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
And if anyone wants more Joshua.
Oh yeah. Please tell us how to get a hold of you. That's what I want to do.
Just best thing to do is just Google Gary Temple Bodley.
Okay.
And then there'll be some poker in there, but most of it is Joshua.
Is there an email they can get a hold of you? And you're also on the radio. You got your own show on our radio station. So how
can they
get a hold
of you? Yeah, we actually have two podcasts. Joshua Live, which is Joshua and a whole bunch of people asking questions. And it's really fun and it's amazing how it goes. And that's just pure Joshua the whole time. Then we have the Law of Attraction Roundtable, which is us taking a question that someone asked Joshua and we read the answer and we discuss it and we're silly.
I love it. Yep. Yeah. So thank you so much. So then get a hold of you. Tell us your email again.
JoshuaTeachings@gmail.com.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you.
I'll do this again.
Thank you. And we will be right back. And we are back. I want to thank Gary for being with me. I kind of had one of those weeks that I wasn't organized, that I wasn't getting things done. And he was so gracious to kind of plan around our schedule. And I definitely needed to hear what he had to say. Because as you remember, he was a real estate mogul and was very successful in different areas, but until he found this information, he didn't find his soul's purpose. And he can help you find your soul's purpose. I am here. I would love to help you do that. Listening to these podcasts, listening to these radio shows, going to my YouTube channel, going to my website, lawyerofattraction.com, emailing me at paula@lawyerofattraction.com. Those are all wonderful ways for you to start this journey with us. Just to bring up a couple of things he said, relax into it. You know, we're supposed to appreciate where we are. We're not fighting anything. And the more we understand that we're here for a reason, that if we relax into it, if we appreciate where we are, if we know that everything's going to work out okay, it is such a different feeling than trying to resist it and fight against those things. If that is the only thing you take away from this hour, I think it's well worth your time. But there's so much information in here. So if you can, I'd love for you to listen to it again. So as we always say, we are on this journey together. We are on this path of freedom, abundance, satisfaction, and time. And as Ram Dass says, we are all just following each other at home. And I'm so pleased and honored to be on this journey with you. So until next time. This is Paula Kidd Casey.
Thank you for joining Paula Kidd Casey on Lawyer of Attraction Radio Show. For more information about Paula programs and her book,
please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.